Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello and welcome to Celtic Down Under. My name is Laura and I am joined by Liam as we cover the last in Group G. We're covering Cameroon and their arrival at the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. How are you doing, Liam?
Good. Cameroon are one of those wee teams that I always get excited about when you see Cameroon on the telly, you know it's World Cup time.
Oh, absolutely. We've talked about a few of the teams before who mean that, but there's no team that encompasses that more, I don't think, than Cameroon, to be honest. Obviously, yeah. The famous semi-final against England?
The quarter-final.
Quarter-final, that was it. They proved to be so difficult against England at a previous World Cup, and they always have had talented players who have broken out into the larger stages of the world football scene, but few more so, especially on the World Cup stage, than a certain Roger Milla, whose replica shirt you are wearing today. What a beauty that is.
Yeah. I recently turned 39 this week, so I think I am probably still about 15 years younger than Roger Milla was when he played in that tournament, allegedly.
Yeah. Many happy returns. I hope if he had 15 years to wait to play at a World Cup, then maybe there's still a chance for you at 39.
Aye, who knows? Who knows?
But let's get on to looking at the Cameroon squad. I think that's probably the best place to start for this because it will give us a good basis off which to discuss. Three goalkeepers they're taking to the World Cup. We've got the Marseille goalkeeper, who unfortunately I am not brave enough to pronounce the name of, as culturally insensitive as that may seem, but I would rather...
We'll call him Simon,
but I would rather do him that than disrespect him by butchering his name. We've then got Davis Apassi, and then the Cameroon first-choice goalkeeper, former Ajax and current Inter number one, Andre Onana. Andre Onana, obviously controversies aside with the ban from football for an apparent doping infringement, which, you know, given the rules around doping, I'm not sure it's entirely fair anyway on him. He's certainly a talented goalkeeper and one that could make a difference for Cameroon at this World Cup.
Yeah, much like Brazil, Cameroon have historically not had great goalkeepers, but this time around they do have a great goalkeeper, and you know, the fact that Simon is playing for Marseille would also suggest that, you know, that Cameroon are producing more and more goalkeepers who can play at a high level, so that can only be good for the future.
Absolutely, and it'll be interesting to see what difference the man between the sticks for Cameroon does make. Going a little bit further forward, we've got the defenders. We've got Nkulu of Aris, we've got Enzo Ebossi of Udinese, we've got Nuhu Tolo of Seattle Sounders, Oliver Mbaizo of Philadelphia Union, Collins Fai of Altai, Jean-Charles Castelletto of Nantes, Christopher Wu of Rennes, and Jeremy Ongweni of Frankfurt. Not very many household names there, and not playing again at a terribly high level. Am I naive to be suggesting that regardless of the quality between the sticks with the goalkeeper, the defence is a potential area where Cameron could come unstuck at this World Cup?
I definitely think as we get forward and look at their midfield and attack, you will see that the defence is the weak link in this team. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily weak, just weaker than the other elements of the team, I think.
Yeah. With that said, let's go and have a look at the midfield and forward line for Cameron. We've got Gael Ondoa of Hanover, we've got Samuel Gouy of Mechelen, we've got Pierre Koundé of Olympiakos, Martin Hongla of Verona, Andre Frank Zambo Anguissa of Napoli, and Olivier Ncham of Swansea City. Now then, that is not a name I expected to see, but we will get to our old friend Ncham in a little second. Is there anybody else from that midfield lineup that is standing out to you?
Well, Koundé of Olympiakos is a tidy player as well. I only follow Greek football sporadically because it doesn't show up on TV over here very often, but Olympiakos are kind of the team that I follow, and he's had a very good season with them so far. And the Greek league is a better level than most people give it credit for. So, he will not be out his depth at this tournament.
Absolutely. Let's go talk about Oliver Ncham, obviously former Celtic player, now playing for Swansea City. I have to be completely honest, I wasn't expecting to see him in this squad because I just had always assumed, being born in France, that he would go on to represent France at international level, and that might have been naive of me to say so, but he had appeared for every age group of France from 2011. He started in the France under 16 team and rose up to the under 21s as late as 2019. But he seems to have made this switch to Cameroon in 2022, having made only two appearances for the national team. He was placed in standby for the African Cup of Nations in 2019, and he debuted for the Cameroon national team in a friendly 2-0 loss to Uzbekistan only as recently as September. Are you surprised to see his inclusion there? What do you think he's going to do in terms of featuring for Cameroon at this World Cup?
Well, I mean, we know that when Olivier Ncham is in the mood, he's a fantastic footballer who can do wonderful things, not least that winning goal against Lazio.
Yeah.
But the problem here is that he's only played two games for Cameroon so far. And there might be a wee bit, I mean, I don't know this, but there might be a wee bit of resentment amongst some of the other Cameroon players because maybe one of their teammates has missed out because this guy has just suddenly declared for getting included because he plays in England. Well, he plays in Wales, but he plays in the English League, you get my point. So I think it's a risky one for Cameroon, but if he turns up, he'll be a valuable addition to that squad. But unfortunately, as we saw towards the end of his Celtic career, he has a habit of not turning up when it really matters. So,
It's certainly somebody I'll be looking out for at this World Cup, having not expected to see him there. And whether he makes an appearance or not, it'll be nice to see a familiar face, that's for sure. Speaking of familiar faces, let's see if there's any in the front line for Cameroon at this World Cup. We've got George's Kevin Nkudu of Besiktas. We've got Vincent Aboubakar of Al Nassr, Brian Mbeumo of Brentford, Jean-Pierre Nsam of Young Boys, Carl Toko Akambe of Lyon, Mumi Ngamalu of Dynamo Moscow. I absolutely butchered that one. Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting of Bayern Munich, Christian Bissong of Shanghai Shenhua, and Suabu Maru of Cotton Sport. Again, probably the most high-profile name there is Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting of Bayern Munich. Not always for positive reasons, because he's actually, I think, gets unfairly maligned as a player who doesn't deserve to be playing at the level that he's playing at. But I would have to suggest otherwise. You don't end up playing for Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern Munich without being a good footballer.
No. No, but Bayern Munich are not in the business of signing duds. He's a good player. He's the thing is, when you come into Bayern, when you come to the Bayern Munich team, and you know Lewandowski has just left, it's really fair, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. Listen, it's difficult to cover the Cameroon squad because of the nature of the squad and some of the players playing in such far-flung places. So it's difficult to assess exactly what kind of an impact they're going to have at this World Cup. But what do you personally feel is going to be the impact of Cameroon at this World Cup?
I hope that they can get out of this group. Unfortunately, I don't think they will, but I hope they can. As I said before, Serbia are my tip to take that second place behind Brazil. But in a purely emotional sense, I would rather it was Cameroon, because I think the fans, the vibrancy of the style of football they play, just the colour that they bring to the tournament. I think Cameroon have a lot more to offer the footballing global community than, with the greatest respect, Switzerland or Serbia do. So I hope they can go further than the group stage, but they are going to have to beat the odds to do that.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, we talked about Denmark being a lot of people's second team, but I think if you ask a lot of people at a World Cup, there's nobody ever wants anything but good things for Cameroon, and I think that would certainly be the case at this World Cup as well. Yeah. Looking at the group as a whole, now that we've covered all of the teams, it is fascinating to say, as we've said in the other videos, just how tight this group could become, but we've not really talked about, you know, the chances. We've kind of gone through it, I think, assuming that Brazil are going to win most, if not all, of their fixtures. Is there any chance any of the three teams other than Brazil in the group can challenge Brazil and even maybe take 2 points off of them at some point in this group?
Well, funnily enough, I think purely because of their unpredictability and, like you say, the widespread nature of the squad and the fact that they're not going to be as well known as the other two, Cameroon might be the one that springs a surprise. Because on one hand, it will be harder for the Brazil coaches to research them, because I would imagine that tracking down footage of African qualifying games is probably not as straightforward as it is for European qualifying. And scouting as well is probably logistically a bit more tricky as well. But I think that Cameroon also bring that fearlessness.
Yeah.
That kind of, let's just go and have a go attitude, which, you know, they might not have the same level of player that they had in 1990, but they still very much have that, you know, the indomitable Lions spirit is still very much there. And I think that could be a crucial element for them as the tournament progresses. They'll go out and have a go at Brazil. They might well end up losing 5 or 6-0 as a result, but I hope they don't, because I like to see teams being rewarded for being brave.
Well, I think that's a fair point to make, and I think it's something that Cameroon especially would do well to heed, is nobody's expecting anything of them against Brazil. Nobody would be surprised if they were heavily defeated, so they are losing nothing by going and taking the game to them. They can only gain from doing that, and I think that they would do well to heed that advice, if anybody from the Cameroon team's watching this particular podcast, and perhaps take that chance against Brazil, because the other way of looking at it is you're only going to get to play Brazil once at a World Cup if you're a player in that position usually, and why not give it your best while you're out there?
Yeah, exactly. Go out and have a go. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Yeah, with that said, I think I speak for both myself and Liam when I say all the best to Cameroon.
Yes.
They are a very likeable team. They create a lot of nostalgia as far as World Cups are concerned, and I think we both want to see them do their best. And the biggest plus side of all, they don't have Neymar playing for them.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Liam, for joining me for this Group G review. We have one more group to go in this World Cup preview. Those videos will be out in a few days' time, certainly in time for the first games of the teams in those groups. But we hope you've enjoyed watching all the videos up to now. We certainly have enjoyed making them. Liam, thank you very much for joining me, and I will see you again for another video in the very near future.
Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.